You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
Yes, I spoke to the Minister about restoration of voting rights for prisoners serving sentences of 3 years or less. And of course, Labor's response to National's calls for the development of a unit designed to target gang activity specifically. So I thought we could start today by talking about the voting rights being restored for people in prison who are on a sentence of 3 years or less.
Sure.
Yeah. This is going to provide voting rights for 1,900 incarcerated voters.
That's right.
And you've said that it will help make it as easy as possible for them. I wonder, do you have any initiatives to accompany this with civics education inside prisons?
No, we haven't gone that far yet. In terms of the mechanics of it, the corrections department, their staff will play a big role in making sure that people are on the roll. And of course, that will apply also to those who are on longer sentences at the time they leave prison, make sure that they're on the roll. So in terms of information about issues and about political parties, that's a matter we'll have to work with, or at least the Electoral Commission will have to work with Department of Corrections on to make sure that, you know, there's a reasonable degree of information about that. I have to say, I get a fair amount of correspondence from prisoners, and it's clear that at least those who are writing to me are pretty well informed on quite a range of issues. So they are getting some information into prison, but yeah, to make the democratic process meaningful and a vote meaningful, they've got to be informed about that. So, I'm confident that, certainly the Department of Corrections will make sure that good information will be available.
Okay. And why is it that 3 years or less was the sentence allocation for restoration of rights?
Well, there's two reasons. One, that has been the long-standing provision or framework that we've had in this country up until 2010. Apart from a period of about 3 years in the mid-1970s, pretty much since the 1920s, our law has said those on prison sentences of no more than 3 years should it continue to have the right to vote. And the reason for that is that if you're voting, if you're in prison and you're on a sentence of less than 3 years and you're voting, you're going to be out before the next election, and you should have a say on who's going to, or who is leading the community that you're going to be released back into. So
right.
There's a logic that goes with that. A little bit more difficult to apply for people on longer sentences, because the longer sentences, parole periods become much less predictable, how long someone's going to stay in prison. So the next best thing to do for that category of people is to make sure that at the time they're released, that proactive steps are taken to make sure that they can get on the roll and therefore vote once they're back in the community.
Mm-hmm. The opposition has, of course, said that this is Labor being soft on crime, and that if you have done the crime, you have to do the time and should lose their rights, was Simon Bridges' words. What's sort of your response to this idea of penalising rights and democratic rights?
it's silly. It's not. I mean, the thing is, if you look at what's happened in the 9 years that those rights have been taken off prisoners, has it made a blind bit of difference to reoffending, for example, and rehabilitation and reintegration? No, it hasn't. It doesn't achieve that at all. So this is not. I mean, they have a view that they want to punish as many people as possible. I think as harshly as possible. I don't go with that view. I think most people who wind up in our prison system are there because they've had pretty troubled lives themselves. I mean, totally wrecked lives, actually, sometimes at the hands of the state as well, because of what's happened in their childhood. And I think, actually, what the prison system needs to be doing, and Calvin Davis and other ministers agree with me on this, is actually using a prison sentence as an opportunity to restore people, not further stigmatise them and further impede them from making a good contribution once they're free and back in the community. So, we are just going to have a different view to the National Party on that.
But talking about that sort of rehabilitation tactic, how much faith do you really have if that's being left up to the Department of Corrections to ensure things like informing voters? It doesn't sound like sort of full provision that we could have for rehabilitation.
Yeah, look, no question, we've got a long way to go to make the Department of Corrections into a department that I think can do a better job of making sure that the people who are in their custody and care leave in a better position to kind of pick their lives up, either restore relationships, because often prison severs relationships, and a better chance to survive in the community, assisting them with housing post-release, assisting them with reintegration over a period of time, not just sort of once they get to the prison door at the end of their sentence, waving goodbye with a $350 cheque and saying, now it's up to you, which is what we've sort of been doing more or less up until now. So, yeah, look, on a lot of fronts, we can do and have to do a lot better. Kelvin Davis, as Corrections Minister, has totally crossed that, which is why he's busily changing the way Corrections goes about doing its job. On the voting front, I totally get the point. For the votes to be meaningful, we've got to make sure there is good information in prisons. But I don't, again, I go back to what I said before. There are plenty of prisoners who are well-informed and articulate, and I see that because I get amazing correspondence from prisoners on a whole variety of issues, not just their issues, but on issues of the day. And they, I get blown away, actually, by some of the stuff I see, and know that these are people who do have something to contribute. They've just got to get through their prison sentence with a bit of help and the right sort of support. They can go back and do good things.
There's been a lot of media attention this week, obviously, around Simon Bridges' calls for a Strike Force Raptor unit, a model based in Australian policing of gangs. One of the main things that Bridges has been referencing is rising numbers of gang involvement under the government. I wondered, when I first heard this, how do we measure gang affiliation and monitor that? Is it monitored even?
Yeah, well, the police have a gang intelligence unit, so they are monitoring what is happening with gangs. I mean, they don't do it from afar. The police are engaging with gangs and gang leaders. Sometimes that's constructive, sometimes it's not. But there's active monitoring of it. The reality is that there are some gangs, in most gangs, there are gang members, whether or not sanctioned by the leadership, who engage in criminal activity. Some of that is deliberately organised crime. Sometimes it is just people who are offending and who happen to be in gangs. So that's why the police take an interest in gang organisation.
Yeah.
We know it's a bit cheap to say gang numbers have risen under our government. That gang numbers have been rising since about 2015, 2016, because we've had a lot of New Zealanders who were in Australia and associated with gangs have come back, have been deported back to New Zealand. Not all of them have been involved in gangs, some of those have been associated with gangs in Australia, having been deported back to New Zealand, haven't associated with gangs in New Zealand, but many have. And that's why we've seen the establishment of new gangs like the Comancheros and the Bandidos. And that has, the police tell us, there are in some places there's competition between gangs, certainly to get new recruits, and they sort of have their different style. And the reason why people join gangs is because their lives are such that they are looking for support, they're looking for camaraderie, they're looking for, that sort of sense of belonging. And for some, they find it in a gang. Sometimes it can be benign, but as often, if not more often, it can be malign. And we've just got to be able to kind of gauge which is which and respond appropriately.
Right. So on that note about responding appropriately, Newsroom noted research about the unit that Bridges is referencing is an Australian policing initiative. And this Newsroom article referenced research that showed that it doesn't dismantle organised crime, which is what I gather sort of what you were indicating, that it is more deeper root causes. What is Labor's approach to dealing with those causes and responding to what you identifying just before?
So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. You go back to the question about why do people wind up in prison? Well, they wind up in prison because they have grown up with violence. They themselves have been, taken from their families and put in, usually sometimes by Oranga Tamariki and its predecessors, and put in environments where they are completely kind of disconnected, so they lose their sense of identity and lose any kind of commitment or faith to the community that they're part of. There are people who have, you know, health issues and mental health issues, including addictions, which means that they're not, you know, they're not properly controlling their behaviours, don't have the means to, don't get diagnosed, all that sort of stuff. So all of those things drive people's sense of how do I make sense of my life. You've got to address those issues. You address that through the health system, through the education system, through orangatangariki training as practices, which it's in the process of doing. But in the end, you know, people are going to find their crew. They're going to find their group, the people they are comfortable with, enjoy mixing with. That's what freedom of association is.
Yeah.
And you've got to allow that to happen. What you're also going to be careful is that, you know, for some people, for whom offending is, you know, an appealing thing, you've got to deal with that as well. You deal with that through, you know, through good policing and pretty ordinary policing. I'm not sure that, you know, setting up strike forces is going to help that. I know there is a lot of concern. I mean, one of the things that has increased, again, in the last few years, is the incidence of firearms crime and a lot of firearms offences being committed between members of different gangs. And, you know, that does put others in the community at risk. You know, the police develop a response to that. That's important. But we're not going to get rid of gangs. But people are going to find ways to mix and associate with like-minded people, and that's just natural human behaviour.
Yeah.
What you've got to do then is through good policing, is keep on top of any criminal offending.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.
That was indeed Minister Little. Text us on 5395 with your thoughts. Obviously, that story's been pretty big in the media this week. But we'll be back after these messages.
You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.